No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I'm in here with Compton's very own AD.
How you doing? What's up, man? Blue Eye, you already know.
What's going on, Blue
Eye?
Don't
know I call you that. Blue Eye Load. You ain't called yourself that yet, though.
Bro, you want to know what happened, actually? You just reminded me is that, so the Stink Team and Draco the Ruler currently on trial.
Yeah.
And they fucking brought up like a big picture of them all together. And the prosecutor like brought the picture up and then he goes, you know, to prove that they're a gang. And then he also points at me and goes, he's not in the Stink Team. This is Adam Graham Mason. He's a YouTuber and podcaster. and that moment when I heard about that, I was like, God damn, I'm so glad that I never like said
yeah,
I was a
because
part of anything.
If you take the name that I gave you, you for sure going down.
For real. If I take that name, somebody's pulling up, no problem. I'm gonna be a target.
Man, niggas pulling up already anyway. You ain't shit.
Yeah,
ain't
but goofy ass fucking dudes. Like, if I take that name on, then all of a sudden I'm gonna have real dudes pulling up.
Yeah,
mad as hell.
We're just gonna keep it a little insider, man. Leave it like that and shit. That shit crazy.
But so, how you living? How's life going right now?
Man, shit good, man. By the way, 2 just dropped, man. We've been going crazy all fucking week. Shit stupid.
New shit dropping, man.
Yeah, man. New shit.
So, tell me a little bit about your upbringing, what it was like. You were born in Compton?
Yeah, I was born. I mean, yeah. Born in Compton. Stayed on a Central Alondra. I just seen a lot of bullshit growing up.
Really? From a super young age?
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I think like the first time that someone popped a shot at me, I was like 9 or 10.
Nine. Intentionally shooting at you.
I mean, I don't think they was trying to like get me per se, but you know, like where I come from, if you just hanging outside the wrong period of time.
Right.
And I was always a taller kid. I used to look older and shit too. So like niggas probably thought I was a teenager or something like that. My granny, she told me the lady that like 3 houses down, she was like cooking like gumbo and macaroni and cheese and shit. So she like, oh, just go give me some gumbo and shit like that. And I fucking start walking. And I went and got the gumbo and all this shit, had it in my hand. And this is like 3-4 houses down from where I live at. And as soon as I walked out, I just seen a black car.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like an old school, like Impala or something like that. And it was just parked. You feel me? And it turned the lights off. And I'm looking, I'm like, what the hell? All I heard was a spack, like 1 or 2 shots. And I just ran for my life and shit like that. And as they sped up, like my grandma, she had this little green car, and I fucking like try to like dive over it on some 007 shit with the gumbo and shit, fucked it up.
You fucked the gumbo up.
The gumbo was gone.
Ugh.
But I was just like, them niggas tried to kill me. Like young age though, I'm like, when you can't even process that shit. But even then,
right,
it still wasn't like, it didn't register then.
Yeah.
You know, location.
You came so close to something like insanely devastating happened. And it's like, what are you supposed to do with that information when you're so young? Like if I was 9 and somebody in school had like even punched me in the face, I wouldn't have known what the hell to think. You know, it would have been, it's kind of hard to like consume or like comprehend that kind of cruelty.
Yeah.
Never mind a bullet, which is more of like this mysterious thing. Because if it don't hit anything, it's whatever. But if it hits something, it's
shit.
End of the world.
Even you said nah, you said somebody punch you in the face. Like my first day, when I went to Caldwell Elementary School, it was like 4 or 5 houses down from my house.
Right.
And like I met a lot of my friends in the neighborhood from there. The first day of school, my homeboy he had tripped me. Like I fell on my face and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, I got expelled from there from fighting and shit.
Because of that?
No, different, just fighting and getting in trouble and shit. Cause you know, coming from Compton, especially like when you're really in the city and shit like that, it's just like you don't want to be negative, but you have to be, you got to be a wolf, man,
right,
around all the wolves and shit like that. You can't really be no cool dude like that. Like somebody always going to test you.
That's like a slightly less aggressive version of like that jail mentality.
It's like that though.
Yeah.
It's like that though. I mean, especially when every time you go outside, you have to run into the shit. Like,
right.
You know, like a lot of reasons why people, you know what I'm saying, started getting into gang banging. You know, these guys over here, they taking dick homie skateboard or, you know what I'm saying?
Just like the littlest shit.
Just little tiny things. Where he's just like, as a, you know, you start growing into manhood and you like, man, I ain't taking this shit no more from these niggas or anybody, you know what I'm saying?
Period. I was thinking about that a shitload because I was just in the UK and, you know, out there they stab each other. It's like, you know, 90% plus of the murders are like stabbings. And it's so crazy. Like, I'm reading these stories and stuff and it's tripping me out because I'm thinking, like, none of these stories would go down in LA because in LA, if you're a tough dude, if you're with the shit, whatever, if you're trying to pull up on somebody, it's like you're going to have a gun on you because you are assuming that the other people have a gun on you. In England, it's like that's not really as much of a concern. So you end up with these stories about these insane like street brawls where people are getting stabbed 30 times and shit. And I'm just reading it like it's just different because it's like so much more like intimate to imagine like stabbing somebody, whereas you could be standing down the block shooting at somebody and killing them.
You know, a lot of people, man, they just do drive-bys or they'll just aim wherever. They don't know who are they trying to get at the end of the day. So it's like, I mean, but like me growing up, like in high school and middle school, it was, we had brawls. Like, you know, when you at school, it's different.
Right.
Like, you have fucking brawls and the race, like the race riots used to be cracking. It was like, it was next level.
Really? Like,
yeah. Like,
black versus Mexican?
Yeah, it used to be bad. Like, I love Mexicans. You feel me? Mm. Like, it wasn't how it is now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, at the time, it's just like shit. Like, I remember one time a rumor came out. They said like something happened in jail, and the rumor was the Mexican mafia put a hit out on all the black kids that wore like a white t-shirt.
What?
Yeah. So everybody from every high school was just on edge. Like they said they was gonna bump your car, and if you got a white t-shirt on, they was gonna smoke you and shit like that.
Right.
So that shit made tension like. Like, I mean, just
you were
rise,
coming
rise.
Up was like the age of the white tee too, right?
What? For sure. For sure. Like this shit. Shit's crazy too, cause it's like, you know, I remember the first time. I was in Bellflower, and you know what I'm saying? It was, I forgot what hood it was, man, but we was going to a party, man, and the SA nigga pulled out a shotgun on us, like, what's up? Like, niggas, we was like, whoa. Like,
hit with a hard R.
Bro, I mean, shit, you pull that out, like, it shit, ain't nothing you can do after that. And I remember one time, too, I was in Long Beach. It was a young guy, man. He had to be, like, 19 years old. We sitting in the car, nigga, he just pulled up on his bike. He was like, what's up, niggas? We like, what? Nigga, pulled a strap out on us and shit. We like, ah, ain't nothing we could do.
What'd you do?
We couldn't do nothing. You just got to take that shit. And it's a little nigga on top of that. So
he was trying to take your shit?
No, he wasn't trying to take nothing. He was just
trying to punk you.
A little nigga with a gun.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was bad like that back then.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was bad.
So were you, like, when did you even realize, like, what a Crip was or what the gangbanging shit was? Were you just around it from birth or was it something you kind
of
had to learn about?
I mean, my uncles and my daddy's side of the family, they all was, you know, from Harlem Crip and shit like that. So when I was growing up, like, they had the ghettoest barbecues. Mm. You get praised for like the negative shit that you do and shit like that.
Really?
So all my little cousins growing up, they like, oh yeah, they want to be Crips and shit like that. And my neighborhood, it was all Crips and shit, but we were like all my old homies was like older. So I didn't want to, like, you know what I'm saying? There wasn't really no younger people that I can relate to and shit like that. So I would go to my daddy house, all my cousins, they bang in Harlem. You feel me? I'm going right there on King. And
so explain, what's Harlem Crip? I don't know.
Harlem Crip is it's a gang in Los Angeles.
But where that specific name come from, or that segment, is it like any characteristics?
I don't know where it come from.
Okay.
I don't know where it come from. They got a Harlem everywhere, though. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So, wow. So you just basically been associated with it from a young age. And did that did that occur to you when you were young that it was that there was something different about the fact that you seemed to be able to get praise from talking about something that was like basically negative that they were telling you in school you weren't allowed to do and that it was bad, but then like you were getting mixed messages basically, right?
Yeah, because my grandmother, she had worked, rest in peace, she on my neck. She had worked for Compton Unified School District and like she did everything by the book. So like she didn't like cursing. She didn't believe in family fighting. She didn't believe in stealing. She didn't praise none of that stuff. Like, and then you go to with your dad, and then on the weekends, your cousins is over here. Y'all got sock and boppers, and they telling y'all to get in the ring with each other. And you know what I'm saying? Everybody fighting and doing all type of crazy shit. So, you know, the one side of you is like, okay, my grandma and them, they women. My mom, she working. They women. They don't know what it's like to be a boy growing up in South Central. And I got all these cousins my age. And they acting crazy, and my uncles and them banging and shit like that. And that, you know what I'm saying, as a man, it's just like, okay, I'm going to make my own decision.
Right, definitely. So were you always interested in the rap side of things, or did you always see that as a possibility since you were young?
That was always my escape. You know, I probably dodged a lot of bullets by, you know what I'm saying, trying to record myself. So, you know, I always had dreams of doing music. I would like, you know, whatever I can find, like I had a Mickey Mouse mic with my Windows, plug that shit in there and just try to, you know, upload it to whatever I can upload it to. I was stealing beats off of SoundClick and all that shit.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, times when I was in the house doing that shit, they'd be like, oh, it's a place where I would be. Oh, what's the car got popped? Or this guy got popped.
Really?
Or they went to the party, somebody got shot or somebody got killed and shit.
Who even put you on to the idea of making music, though? Or is there anybody who helped you out with, like, the technical side?
Later on, but...
You were figuring it out yourself.
Yeah, I used to listen to Power 106, you know what I mean, when I was little. My grandma, she used to have cassette tapes. that she used to have seminars for for Compton Unified School District. And I used to just take those, like they'd be under her bed somewhere. And I would just get it, record it, Power 106 and all my favorite songs. I was just imitating them, just mimicking.
Right.
And like my dad, he used to always play West Coast music for me.
Mm.
He would just tell me all the time, Ice Cube's the best rapper, DJ Quick's the best rapper. Mm. And that's all he would play.
But what was the stuff that seemed cool to you was probably like later than Ice Cube and DJ Quick and shit, right? Like what was the hot shit when you were a kid?
I mean, like when I was in high school, like my favorite people to listen to was probably Dipset.
Mm.
Like that was big. We bought the hats and all type of shit like that. I fell in love with like East Coast music.
I mean, we're talking about you coming up in the age of the white tee. I mean, Dipset, they kind of had a monopoly on some white tee swag.
Cameron was that guy, man. Yeah. He was that guy. But, you know, I was into battle rapping in middle school and high school. So
you did get into that. Okay.
Yeah, I was really into that. So it's like the West Coast scene wasn't really into bars and catered to that. So East Coast, I was like, you know, they rapping.
Right.
I respected that. So like Jay-Z and Dipset and Nas and all them, I was really into that shit.
Oh, wow.
How the Cassidy, fuck too.
How did you get into the battle rap side of things? I feel like that's such like an alternate, weird, like side universe within hip hop.
You know what's crazy is like what I'm known for now, I wasn't like that. Mm. I used to sit in the house and I used to think of line and I'll just write it down and try to piece shit together and then go to middle school. And I used to suck too. I'm going to keep it 100. Like, you know what I mean?
In high school, you were that young.
Yeah.
Okay.
In high school, though, my school actually let us do ciphers and they would like sell tickets for us like in assemblies and let us rap against each other.
Oh, really?
As long as it was clean and shit too. So they like.
So you couldn't swear?
Nah, you couldn't
swear. For a battle, that must be terrible though, not being able to swear.
I mean, but still, the girls is watching you. You on stage, you're on a platform that you're not even used to. It's just one step closer to where you want to be in life. So,
did you have mad gun bars? That's what they always talk about.
Everybody had mad super gun bars. Super creative gun bars. Yeah, man. It sucks now if you can listen to it. But I got a, my homeboy got a DVD. I got to find that shit of me when I was like in 10th grade.
Really?
Ripping somebody. Like,
you couldn't see yourself doing it again?
What, battle rapping?
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Nah.
Nah. Hell nah. That shit, it's two different worlds. Like, I had to literally train myself to get out of that train of thought of
Rapping too of crazy, complicated metaphors, all
just
shit.
Thinking of just metaphors and just lines and stuff, like, versus making a song that you could play in the clubs and shit. It's like, it's two totally different worlds, and you got to really train yourself.
Right. When did you decide you wanted to sort of start adapting over to, like, traditional hip hop in a sense?
Oh, it was my brother Ali, man, Mixed by Ali.
Is he the brother who's locked up right now?
No. Oh, okay. That's my little brother. Okay. Yeah. No, Ali is Kendrick's and the whole Top Dogs engineer.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I got kicked out of my high school for the second time, and then I was gonna go into his school. Before I went to his school, me and him ended up getting arrested at a party, and we was in the back of the police car. And we was just introducing ourselves to each other, talking about everything we wanted to do in the future with music and shit.
What'd you get arrested doing?
We was at a party and a fight happened. I didn't even do shit. My homeboy, he was walking outside. He accidentally got hit in the head with a chair.
Wow.
And when we was walking out, the police officer came out. He was like, he looked at him and just started choking him. And I was like, officer, you ain't got to do him like that. Next thing you know, I get leg sweeped. They hitting me with clubs and shit. So I get up. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
I didn't know the law back then either. So I'm sitting there squaring up with the police officer and shit like that. Them motherfuckers tackle the shit out of me. They hitting me and shit. They put their knee in my back. Wow. Just fucking me up, for real.
That's brutal.
Yeah, but then, you know, met him in the back of the police car. And he ended up interning them for Top Dog and them.
Uh-huh.
So he bought me around Top and Kendrick and J-Rock and them early on.
Okay.
Like when J-Rock first got his deal and shit.
So is that when you started to like put together a lot of what you were trying to do musically?
Yeah, he told me basically like, then that bar shit ain't gonna cut it. He's like, you know what I mean? Just
that's gotta be a weird conversation to have with somebody. Like, you're rapping too good, man.
It's not even like rapping too good. It's just, you know, people think about how can you make a living and money off of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't no smacking URLs back then like that.
Right.
It was just like a real underground circuit where it really wasn't no money in that shit.
Right.
And yeah, he just helped me out. He brought me around them, linked me with DJ Ill Will. And, you know, that's kind of how I got my start.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So at that time, what year are we talking when you first started to like get
this
in
like
the game?
2010, 2009.
2010, 2009. Yeah. Okay. That's when it started to sort of work out.
Yeah, it started. I mean, it didn't work out yet. I still had a lot of growing to do.
Right. Did you were you playing sports in high school at all?
Fuck no.
No? Okay. That's annoying because people always ask me that question because I'm big.
I know. They say to me all the time.
Annoying question, like, right?
You play football, don't you? You play football. I'm like, nah, I ain't playing no football.
You do strike me as a football player, see? I'm going to be honest. Yeah. That's definitely the vibe.
I don't know how to take that, man. I don't know how to take that.
You just kind of got that build. You're like, you tackle a motherfucker.
You know, motherfucker. And then, you know, sometimes my uncles and them, they would shake their head like, back then, they was like, man, you should play basketball. You're tall and shit. I'm like, I don't want to play basketball.
That was me as a kid, too. Just basketball. Everybody just would act like I was such a fool because I didn't play basketball. Man, it's like, listen, bro, I could barely freaking get that ball in the hole.
The
man.
Niggas that I used to know that had crazy basketball dreams, them niggas ain't got no hair no more, bro. And it ain't because they shaved their shit.
That is true. Anyone, just fucked up. Anyone in high school that you were looking at like he was the man for playing basketball is like, no.
That nigga got 6 kids and he works at Home Depot. And he's thinking of offering himself.
He's dealing with the fact that he never made it to be what he wanted to be.
Man, and you know what's crazy? Like, a lot, my high school, like, a lot of people went through a lot of bullshit like that.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, like, as a kid, you got all these aspirations and dreams, and you, like, by the time I'm 25, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this and do that. And then, like, I look at motherfuckers now, I'd be like, shit, niggas is whopped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was one of them ones that everybody was, they didn't think that I had any type of potential of doing anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little did they know.
Little did they know, man.
You ended up doing the most antisocial thing you could be doing besides gangbanging in that neighborhood.
And then, you know what? I came back for all the women that was playing me and shit like that.
Did you? You got your revenge?
I hit them with the dick test, all of them and shit. You feel me? I had to.
Before I make the Hot 100, let me hit you with this dick real quick.
I mean, listen, I'm like, fuck that. They start showing me attention. I'm like, shit. Yeah. The older ones to the younger ones and shit, we knocking them down.
Right.
I'm about to utilize this platform.
So when you started to get some attention and stuff, who when you look at, like, you know, your class, like the other people who are coming out at that time, who else did you see as your peers that you were really, like, sort of coming up with at the same time, just to contextualize it, since I was still on the East Coast at this time? And
RJ. Okay. The same time, like, me, RJ, Joe Moses, OT Genesis, Compton AV, like that range.
Okay. Yeah. YG was already kind of the man.
YG was already out? He was already out of there.
Right.
He was the first, like, YG was like the first guy that I know that got a record deal. And that shit made me like, oh shit, I got a fucking, it's impossible now. Cause before we was doing shit for hobbies, like, it didn't seem possible that a record label was gonna contact you and shit like that.
Cause YG was like the combination of, like, he had hit records and then he's also talking a lot of gangster shit. So it was kind of like, oh, we can kind of do both.
But he had a movement though.
Yeah.
He had something, it still pushes though, but pushes was like one of, like, the biggest movements in L.A. at the time. But,
right.
And there was a lot of groups like Pushers, but he took it to where music, you know what I'm saying, was the focus.
Right.
We was doing it to be cool, fuck bitches and shit like that. And he, you know what I'm saying, he had his shit structured that got him a fucking deal.
Right.
So he just kept pushing music.
Once you start tooting and booting it, the world starts paying attention.
Man, that shit, yeah. That's my nigga though.
Definitely. So you still got a relationship with OT, huh? You got that's a song that came out the other day.
Yeah, that's like my brother. I'm with that nigga. I'm gonna be with that nigga tonight.
Really?
Yeah, fuck him.
Where, in the club?
Yeah.
You don't do the viral crip walking videos like he does though?
You know what's crazy about my crip walk, man?
Hit the gas station.
I was practicing my crip walk my whole life, man. I ended up getting drunk one night. Look, my manager over there fucking laughing right now. I got drunk one night, man. And we had a tuxedo on, me and OT, and I had on these big-ass hard shoes and shit like that. I was drunk as fuck, and I started crip walking and shit, and man, Big U recorded it. Shout out to Unk. He put it on his Instagram, and they tore me a new one.
Really?
Oh, they fucked me over.
Oh, my God.
He's the main one, man. Spin moves and tornadoes and all type of shit.
Right.
So I had to live that for like 2 weeks, and since then, I ain't fucking crip walk no more. They don't like my variation. It's my drunk variation of it.
Holy shit. I mean, like, that's kind of funny because I feel like dancing wasn't really cool for a long-ass time, and I know a lot of people who are like, damn, all of a sudden, dancing's cool. Like, I've been dancing since I was a little fucking kid, but it just wasn't cool.
I'm scared to bust a move or anything now.
Yeah,
yeah,
Big
cool.
U got you traumatized, huh?
Yeah, man. Big U fucked me up, man.
Holy shit. That's a good story right there. Hey, but at least OT didn't give up. He's still going for it.
You know what's crazy? I met OT in high school, and he was part of a crew that them niggas used to come and just dance. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, he had homies like that. When they came in the building, the fucking R&B music coming out, them niggas taking their shirts off, dropping to the floor. I ain't had nobody like that. I was like, man, these bitch ass niggas coming in here. Them motherfuckers doing the worm and shit on bitches and shit.
You're not gonna
take
the shirt off at the function?
Man, fuck no, man. Hell no. But you know, it'd be a girl that you plotting on the whole night. You think that you got her, and then the fucking R&B music come on, they playing some bullshit, and these niggas just coming out looking like, I don't know what the fuck they looking like.
Oh, damn. I never had a girl stolen off dance moves before.
Man, listen, sense. Adam, it's different when a girl can like you than this nigga come out of nowhere. He on the floor, her legs go on the floor, and this nigga's just dry fucking her on the floor, and you know you lost her forever.
Daggering her.
Man, I'm like, man, I'm still mad at some of these bitches, man.
You ever see those videos of the, like, Jamaican dance club shit?
It's like that, though.
It is like
you
that.
Look, you ever seen that nigga? Hey, look. So they just bought OTI for the Millennium Tour. I went with this nigga, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they had, that nigga, was that nigga, Spectacular? This nigga going crazy on here.
Really?
Like, bro, you got to watch it on
just
YouTube.
In terms of, like, they do that shit where they're, like, basically, like, jumping up and down on top of a girl.
Okay, imagine that, the dance hall shit, but imagine they were R&B and much slower.
Okay. That, like, sounds kind of intimidating too, yeah.
You don't want to do that, bro. Like, it's some shit that you, behind closed doors with your woman, she still, I don't know. That shit is that. That ain't me, though. I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah.
My homie used to say he want to fuck the hyphy music. That's the type of nigga I used to be.
What, fuck hyphy music?
No, fuck too hyphy music.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? He used to be like, man, fuck all that R&B shit. We trying to knock some shit down.
That's a really good question. We don't talk about that enough. If you're about to get some ass, what do you put on?
I mean, now? I'm gonna step on hyphy music. You said
yourself. You put yourself on.
You listen to yourself.
She realizes after about cheeks. 2-3 minutes, like, wait a minute, this is you.
I ain't gonna say nothing. No. I used to look. It's crazy too, cause me and the homie, we used to lie, bro. I remember when the Chris Brown Run It came out.
Uh-huh.
We used to lie to bitches and tell them that was me and I was Joel Santana. He was Chris Brown, right. Not knowing these niggas was about to be big as a motherfucker.
Holy shit! And those girls are gonna be coming back. Like, you fooled me.
Yeah.
Catch a case over that. Yeah.
He said they didn't give me no ass back then anyway. I was too little. Hey, it was a girl in my neighborhood, though, man. Everybody used to try to play hide and go get her with her. She was the only one and shit, too. So,
uh-huh.
You know.
What, she was the only bad one in the whole neighborhood?
I wouldn't say she was bad, but I'm going to say that everybody wanted to play hide and go get her with her.
In the neighborhood, it's scarce.
You know how I didn't go get it is?
No, what is that?
See, man, I knew.
I'm just going along with it. It sounds like some sexual shit.
It kind of is. So, like, when you, like, a little nigga, like, you know, you shouldn't play that shit past 11, I say.
Okay.
And kids don't do this shit. So, look, you ain't getting no ass yet. You feel me? So, basically, what you do, the bitch go hide. You go run and try to get her. You grab her booty and shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, that's the whole game is just to grab the booty?
I mean, back then, that was your first little pass at sex back then. You wouldn't get no ass.
When I was, like, 12, I would look forward to, like, getting a hug in the hallway at school.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Cool.
Like, so, that was the closest thing I had going.
Imagine grabbing a fucking butt.
Yeah.
As a little nigga, you feel like you got some ass. You the man.
That's funny because, like, the kids invent shit like that because they're, like, too nervous, so they don't know how to go about getting into some sexual shit. My first time I ever kissed a girl was playing Spin the Bottle.
Well, that's actually a good way to do it.
You know? But I got to kiss all the girls at the party. Like, you ever three seen different the Mexican wood? Girls. What?
You ever seen The Wood?
The Wood, no.
What's that? You got to see The Wood. It's a classic.
Oh, it's a movie?
But it's a classic scene.
Okay.
They say, hey, Mike, we're going to give you $1. Go grab her booty. You feel me? And he going to run over there. He grab her ass. And her brother's a blood. He come beat the shit out. Spoiler alert. Her brother can beat the shit out of him for this shit, though. But that's what kids used to do.
Right.
So I'm like, I'll give you $1, man. Go grab her butt right now.
You ever see Billy Madison?
Who is that? Oh, Billy, Jim Carrey, right? Adam Sandler.
Just because there's a scene where they try to dare him to grab the teacher's boob on the bus. And I forget if he does it or not. He goes, grab her boob? That's assault, brother.
Wait. Which one is that? Is that when he had to go back to school?
Yeah, when he did the academic decathlon.
Okay. Yeah. That one was good.
You know, there's like finding out about a movie like that when you're like 12. That was my whole life, bro. And also, he grew up like 20 minutes from where I grew up.
For real?
So that was our boy. No, I never met him. But, you know, in L.A., everybody, there's a million famous people in L.A., so it's, like, easy to have a hometown hero. Growing up where I grew up, there was nobody. So the fact that Adam Sandler was, like, the funniest dude and he was from where we were from, oh, my God, we were riding with him.
My hometown hero was a Game when he came out.
Yeah, so you remember that? Because that was a big thing because there hadn't been, like, a popping new dude from the West Coast for a minute before that.
And you know what's crazy? Like, I really, really was like a Game fan. You know what I'm saying? So later to be on his album, you know what I'm saying? The first album that ever was on, that was dope as fuck. But
which,
like,
album did you get on?
The Documentary 2.
Oh, okay.
I think that's his last album before, huh? That's his last album too.
He got that new one in the works.
Yeah. His shit, man, Chuck is hard.
He's taking too long putting that out because he had those bars where he was like saying that he fucked Joe Budden's wife, but now Joe Budden ain't with the girl anymore, so he might have to redo that song.
I think he's still married to her though.
Actually, I think they were fiance and or some. Maybe he just didn't have to go through with the deal.
I still ain't seen Get Rich or Die Trying to this day.
You still haven't seen it?
Nope, because I was that much of a Game fan. When he was beefing with G-Unit, Like, I say, fuck the East Coast bars and shit. I done crossed over. This is West Coast shit. I heard some
people talk about that shit like it's a classic. Like, I legitimately...
People tell me that movie is classic. And they be like, you ain't never seen it? I remember seeing it,
and I copped the bootleg from Canal Street in New York. That's how I got it, which is insane to me right now. Like, why didn't I just go to the fucking movie theater?
Don't be mad, niggas. I remember seeing it
and just thinking, like, bro, this is, like, the worst, most ridiculous, pathetic shit I ever seen in my life. They were just trying to stretch out 50s wave at that point into anything possible.
But
it probably did have some charm to it.
But see, the thing is, with black people love they fucking movies. You feel me? Like, I go to Rotten Tomatoes and all that shit for I go. I do, bro.
You're leaving reviews and shit?
I don't like wasting my time.
Right.
So even if I see a black movie and I be like, that shit got 20%, I be like, I don't want to see that shit. Girl. What the fuck?
What's your review of Black Panther? I'm really into
film. Black Panther's amazing.
That was fire.
No, you don't. You just saying that.
No, I did. That's why you asked me that shit. I'm be real.
Don't talk about T'Challa, bro.
I had a grill. I wore the grill for 2-3 days. And when I just first got it, I went to see Black Panther with my girl, and I wasn't even thinking about the grill, and there was mad woke looking ass people in there, and I'm just like,
it's like the second coming of Roots.
I'm taking it out, putting my pocket and shit.
They told me when Roots first came out, motherfucking white people in the fucking theater was going crazy and shit.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine seeing Roots in a fucking theater out here. That'd be crazy.
I remember my grandma, she took me to go see Passion of the Christ, and that was very awkward.
Oh God, I've never seen that, but I heard booing, so much
they
about
was
it.
Boohooing and that motherfucker.
People were crying and shit.
Man, listen, it's only one movie that I cried to.
What?
Fucking Coco.
Coco?
Disney's Coco.
What the fuck is that?
Man, that shit is sad, man.
I don't even know what it is.
You ain't seen Disney Coco?
Nah.
Look, it's crazy too, because I thought I was like, you know what? I was trying to hold it in, and I just seen Guap Dad. He had posted a story. He was like, "This shit is so fucking sad." Holy he was sitting shit. There boohooing, bro.
You're making me feel like I gotta watch it now,
bro. See, the thing is, look, like my grandmother, you feel me, was like my best friend my whole life, and I lost her. You feel me? So anything with the old people, you feel me? So I don't want to spoil this shit in Coco, but it got a sad ass fucking song.
Holy shit!
And I tried to watch that shit again 2 weeks ago. I done seen this shit like 5 times. I be fucking crying every time. So Disney made the saddest fucking movie of all time, bro.
Right.
But it's dope as fuck. Disney Coco.
Wow, I gotta check that
out.
It's
about Mexican culture though.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that helps.
It's about family and shit.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie. I think the last movie I cried to was probably like 10 years ago, fucking Forrest Gump.
Why you cry to Forrest Gump?
I mean, he gets fucking AIDS. Or no, she gets AIDS. Fuck? The girl he's in love with gets AIDS. I don't remember. I don't remember what it was about
that
it that made me
strapped
cry.
Up. We're gonna let us cry for Forrest Gump. There's some real life shit here, man.
Man, you don't feel bad for him. He's fucking retarded. Fuck, the girl just dreams no. gets AIDS.
You want to know who got a worse story than that? It's fucking Precious. You ever seen Precious?
Nah.
Okay, Precious got pregnant by her fucking daddy.
Whoa,
she was getting molested by her mama.
Uh-huh.
She ended up getting HIV, and her kid was retarded, bro.
Holy
so
shit.
That's way worse than Forrest Gump.
I hear people make jokes about Precious all the time. I had no idea.
I don't
want to
make
dark.
Jokes about her. I want to marry her.
People just always bring it up whenever they're talking about a fat person. They'd be like,
man,
oh,
listen,
she look like Precious.
If Precious is listening right now, holler at me, baby. I want to take you to the red carpet.
You go
West
big?
Side. Do I go big? I will for her.
Really? Okay.
It's only certain levels,
but
man.
You don't normally go for the morbidly obese?
Nah. Okay. They got to have the bag for that, man. Mm. What they say, the bigger they weigh, the bigger they pay. I'm on that.
Do you feel that? In this day and age, yeah, there's a very big advantage to being heavy set
I mean,
as a
listen,
woman.
If you a big woman and you got about $1 million, $2 million, man, ain't no reason why I'm going to go deep sea diving in you. And I heard that it feel better anyway. I'm going to keep it G.
Really?
That's what I heard.
I'm
ain't
not
going to
lie. I fucked some fucking fat broads in my life, and that shit is confusing as hell. You don't know what the hell you're trying to stick your dick in there. All the walls of hey, fat, bro. You might have a long ass pole, and you're still only fucking a little bit.
I haven't got that far yet, but I have hit a lot of them that was like one bite-sized snicker away from being obese and shit. It was just cool enough.
No, man, when I was young, I was going crazy.
You didn't give a fuck.
Fuck any girl. It was bad when I think about it now.
Well, that's how niggas' first baby mamas usually is, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
We just had this conversation today. Man, listen. niggas will show their new baby mama, they show them all. Let them motherfucking old pictures come out and shit like that.
I like that, though. That makes me feel like if you want to, like, your first baby mama could just be whoever. Like, she could look like anything. But your second one, you got to go hard.
I don't even, some people, they second and third be banned as a motherfucker. I only got two. You feel
me? You're two baby mamas.
Only have two.
Okay.
Yeah.
What ages were you when, or how old are the kids?
My son is 5 months and my daughter is 10.
Oh, okay.
I had my daughter at 19.
Jeez.
Yeah.
How's that going? 10, it's like a real person almost.
It's fucking crazy, bro.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, but she don't bother nobody. She a good kid.
Uh-huh.
And this is like, damn, like, motherfucker is really here, just as tall as me.
Do you feel just like ill-equipped to prepare her for the realities of life? Because if it was a boy, it feels like it would be a little bit easier for you to understand what to do, what to say. For you with a girl, I feel like it was just,
man, I'm scared though, because I don't want to know. I don't want to learn about no men. My scariest thing that I'm thinking about right now is her going on her period. Ugh. I don't want to deal with that. I don't like to see none of that shit. You feel me? Even your woman, man. I'd be like, keep them pads and all that bullshit away from me.
But that's mom stuff, you know? Mom stuff.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It's still like, you know, one day you're going to have to be like, Dad, I got to, can you go to the store for me?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I'd be saying,
no, you got to do that.
Yeah, you just going to fucking bleed. Nah, but my daughter, she cool though. I'm scared though, man.
One more movie name I'm going to throw out there though is I watched Aquaman on the plane back home.
Aquaman.
You were into it?
I didn't like Aquaman.
No, I don't. I don't care one way or another, to be honest. But
I didn't like Aquaman.
Yeah,
I liked Wonder Woman.
Really? That shit I still gotta watch that.
That was dope.
You're a feminist.
I'm not a feminist. The movie dope. The movie's dope.
What about the Ghostbusters remake with all women?
I didn't see that. You didn't see that? I didn't want to see that shit.
That got the worst Rotten Tomatoes score like of all time.
I don't think it got the worst.
It got like insanely bad one before it even came out. I don't know.
I think the worst that I seen that had the worst score, it was fucking the Garbage Pails Kid movie.
Oh, really?
And I ain't never seen it. That's that nigga favorite fucking thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you know what had an insanely bad rating was the Emoji movie. Did you forget about that? Because you could be excused. Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing the preview, who the fuck's gonna watch a movie?
Who screenwritten this shit that said, "Hey, we're gonna come out with a fucking emoji movie"? That's the stupidest idea of all time.
We all know about emojis. We all use emojis every day. But like a movie about them?
I think it was about their life or something. Yeah. Who the fuck thinks? That's just to let you know, bro. Hollywood doing anything?
Oh, they're so desperate.
If that's the case, where's the fucking what you call them things? Let's make a movie about that shit. That's gonna be better than a fucking emoji movie.
What, a fry cook or burger? Burger flipper?
Nigga, what's the shit we was just playing with the balls right
the
now?
Oh, the Kendama, yeah.
Balls. Yeah.
Great point, available at nojumper.com.
That nigga said a fry cook, yeah.
I thought you were talking about a fry cook.
Exclusively available on nojumper.com.
Exclusive, that's a fact.
Yeah.
Wait, all right, let me answer this question is, what was your first song that really started to get you hot in the land?
Oh, man, I Got the Juice, man. Changed my life.
Really?
Hell yeah. 2015, 2016.
Okay.
I was in the fucking hood. I had $50 to my name. Uh-huh. I was a real gigolo out here. I was fucking bitches to give my daughter Christmas presents and shit. It was a real bad time.
You were a gigolo?
I was damn near a gigolo.
What was your price? How much were you getting paid to lay pipe?
I mean, honestly, I wasn't taking nothing under $75 back then.
Jesus Christ, you a hoe. That is cheap as hell.
Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, 75 stretch a long time when you ain't got no fucking bills.
If I found out that my girl had ever sold pussy for $75, I'd be so goddamn
mad. See, but
mad.
It ain't selling pussy. She's assisting me. I'm a man that she likes,
right?
And she's buying my time and my dick.
Still, 75,
like,
I don't know.
I used to drive 3 hours for $150, bro.
You're right.
I was sick with it.
The market is very different for men.
It's very
you know, like if you found out that you were fucking with a girl and then you found out that she was selling pussy for 10, 20 grand, you gotta be like, shit.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna respect. Be happy that I can fuck with a bitch that had 10, 20 grand at the time.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Where that money at?
See, back then, like.
I'm gonna send my boys over.
Bro, come
when
on,
you're
man.
At work.
You can sit. Hey, I was.
Flu flamming.
Bro, I was driving 2-3 hours, $150, bro.
Damn.
Yep.
That's gangster.
With my baby, baby mama car, too.
I'm hyped that you're admitting that. Honestly.
Because. I've already been past all this shit now. Mm. I can talk about it and laugh about it now. Before, but,
okay. So you're selling dick, and then the
selling,
song.
I'm selling meat. Meat. Correction.
The meat show.
The meat show. Welcome to the meat show.
Featuring.
But I wasn't like no fucking prostitute on Backpage. I wasn't That's how I think now. Y'all thinking of this shit.
No.
But like I would meet a girl. Like my dad always told me. You feel me? He was just like, when you meet a bitch, you feel me? You need to get a bitch with some money and shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? She needs your money. You need. Her motherfucking help. And that's what I used to stick by at the end of the day.
I wish somebody had put me on that, because when I was young, I did not know anything about the fact that you're supposed to be trying to like get some money out of a girl or whatever. Like when I was young, I was fucking hooking up with like girls who had money sometimes, but I didn't know that I should have been trying to like convince them that I needed $500 for a parking ticket or something.
I was taught you get a bitch with some money, right? and you jump in the car, if her family got money, mm-hmm. and you let somebody run to the back of the car while you're driving, and you get the insurance money later on in life. Wow. So that's when I was little. That's the type of shit that I used to get the tactics and shit from.
So you learned a lot growing up in Compton, huh?
Yeah, man, what? It was bad, bro. It was bad. I tried to sell cocaine for one day, right? Mm. My homie, he was selling crack, and he went to the park, and I seen some nigga get tackled, bro, trying to sell cocaine. I was like, I'm out. I don't
really?
Want nothing to do.
Because it wasn't his zone. He wasn't allowed to sell in that area?
No. Fucking like undercovers tackled a nigga in the park. Shit. And I got a little bag in my pocket. I'm thinking I'm about to be fucking.
Right.
I'm thinking I'm about to be Pablo Escobar and shit. I was like, I'm about to sell drugs. Well,
selling coke versus selling crack is a very different clientele.
I had crack cocaine. Yes. It wasn't no coke.
Right.
Yeah, it was some made up bullshit.
Are people really trying to buy coke in the hood like that?
Coke? Nah. Or, crack? Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Them motherfuckers used to buy that shit.
Everybody I know who does coke has money, like that they probably might not be living in the hood if they were really trying to be doing snorting coke.
Yeah.
It's
no,
kind
no.
of an expensive
them
habit.
Them motherfuckers, well, they say they get the glass dick and they smoke that bullshit. But that was, I had one day of trying to sell drugs, you feel me?
And it just wasn't
everybody
worth
it. Was trying to sell weed. I was like, I don't want to really sell weed and shit.
Yeah.
Like, nah, like, I wasn't into that shit. So, you know, the next thing I thought of, I was like, shit, I'm about to go sell this motherfucking meat. These bitches like me and shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. I had bitches that worked at Armani Exchange at the time, Michael Kors. Man, I had everything you could think of, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so much respect right there. That's
and then
big.
it was less the risk.
Mm.
It was
nobody,
less
the, nobody's getting busted for that. Cops
nah,
not concerned.
And then, if your bitch catch you, you know what I'm saying, with your baby mama or something like that, you'd be like, I just won't do it again. So you got at least a year to play around and shit.
Mm. That's amazing.
I probably made a lot of money off
of it. But okay, so then you have a song that hits while you're in the midst of selling dick?
Oh, what? As soon as this shit hit the radio, all you bitches, y'all gotta go. Fuck all y'all now. I went big on them hoes. Show
prices
for show.
Going up.
Man, fuck y'all. Bitches gotta get out of here. Y'all can't touch this dick no more.
Right.
And if you do want to touch it, it'd be $5,000 now a hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Very expensive.
Yeah. So how'd your lifestyle change at that point?
Man, it was crazy because like it was a lot of bullshit going on in the neighborhood. Mm. You feel me? And I lived in my hood. So you walk outside, it's just like there's no escaping the shit. Mm. And like my daughter at the time, like maybe like 2 weeks before that. My daughter, she was asking, could she go out and ride her scooter? I was like, nah, I can't even take you outside to go ride your scooter. And my grandma had died maybe a week before that shit happened. So mm-hmm. life for me was fucked up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got the bad feelings mixed with the good, right?
Man, I was just like, you know what? This is like the last straw.
Uh-huh.
And then the shit hit the radio. The shit started going viral. And then, you know, out of nowhere, motherfuckers calling, hey, shows. I was able to move. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yep, shit, move to Hollywood.
You felt like you had to get out of there right away because something bad was going
to
happen?
Yeah. I had to. You know what's crazy? Before I even moved to Hollywood, I didn't have no credit. So I was making money at the time.
Uh-huh.
For one, the rumor around Compton was AD got signed for $1 million. Motherfuckers hearing me on the radio all day. So I'm like, hell nah.
Right.
Nigga think I got $1 million in this motherfucking house right now. That's strike one. You feel me? And then strike two, I had no fucking credit. It was just too much shit going on. So I just had that intuition. I was like, if I don't leave here soon, I'm gonna get wigged.
Right.
You feel me?
That was probably a very realistic concern.
No, it was real. It was real. Especially too, because it's like, you on the fucking radio, you're getting 30 spins a week. And at the time, I didn't know what the fuck 30 spins a week was on LA radio.
Right.
I didn't know what the fuck that was. No one told me, like, nigga, you need to do this, do that. Like, nigga was just trying to figure this shit out.
Uh-huh.
And instantly, like, my uncle, he came out of nowhere. Like, he was just like, hey, what you doing? Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, man, I want to get the fuck away from here. And he was just like, come live with me for a little bit.
Right.
So now I got a song on the radio. I go move with my uncle. I go live with him for 2-3 months. And then I'm able to build my credit up a little bit, and I move to Hollywood.
Okay.
There and look back.
Never look back. So you wouldn't go back, stay in the same place you used to live?
Fuck no. I'm too big for that now.
Can't do it.
But it's only been, like I tell people all the time, it's only been like 3-4 years I've been able to take care of myself.
Right.
Off of what I love to do.
That's crazy, really.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah, it ain't a long time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You started doing songs. Well, you said in one of your songs, you say, like, I never had a cosign. Is that really how you feel? Because everybody who comes up out of L.A., doesn't it feel like, up until recently, that you kind of needed a cosign to get on?
I mean, I feel like almost every artist in L.A. had a cosign, and that's what got them, like, in the door more. You feel me? So I never, like, I got people that fuck with me, But I never had nobody say, hey, AD is this guy and walk me into a label and do this. Like, a lot of people, they're part of camps that was already established.
Right.
And I wasn't part of no camp that was established. You know what I'm saying? I ain't asked for no handouts. I ain't asked for no favors and shit.
Yeah.
I didn't take this deal. I didn't take that deal. I didn't go in this camp. I didn't come join this. I didn't come join all the other shit. When I easily could.
Right.
But I, you know, I take more pride in that. You know what I'm saying? We building our own dynasty.
But you go, how'd you end up on songs with people like YG and shit that normally when you think of YG, coming up, like, you know, he signs most of the artists that he fucks with on an underground level.
Let me give you the background on me and YG.
Let's hear
so
it.
When we was in high school, people know about this shit too. When we was in high school, me and YG used to diss each other.
Really?
We had problems with each other.
Where did that stem from?
Just he was part of a clique that I wasn't a cool with, and I just
the dissed. Bloods?
No. Not the blood. Back then it was like they all had cliques. Like I told you, he had a clique. I had joined this clique that they had problems with each other, and I told all them niggas, I was like, write everybody's name on a piece of paper, and I'm going to diss them niggas. And you feel me? Yeah, so at that time, too, I'm like, nigga, I'm a young Compton, wild nigga. I don't give a fuck, nigga. I'm going to do anything to get some attention. And I end up dissing YG. I didn't know him personally. And he dissed me back, and he was like, you know what I'm saying, just dissing me crazy, like, blooding and doing all type of crazy shit on
there. Did he say anything in particular that offended you?
It wasn't that. He said anything to offend me. It was more like, this the only nigga that dissed me back. So I'm like, I had respect for him. I'm like, all right, at least this nigga got balls and shit like that. And the thing is, he's dissing me and he don't know nothing about me.
Right.
I didn't know nothing about him. I just asked him, give me something about this nigga. And they just told me like little things about each one of these people. And I ended up being in a group with another one of them. Two of them ended up producing for me. Like everybody that I diss, I ended up becoming cool friends with.
Well, that's good. That worked out.
Yeah. But then look, then when YG got signed, I'm like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, shit. The nigga I fucking dissed get a fucking deal before me. I'm like, oh, cuz. I'm like, now I got to work and shit like that. And I think when YG got signed was the moment that I start working harder. So I think it was like real parallels and shit. It's like, okay, I helped you make it to where you make it, and you help me make it to where I make it. You feel me? And then later on in life, like, I always supported him. Like, his first album came out, nigga, I'm support, because I'm like, this a nigga from the city that really got a shot. I ain't no bitter, hateful nigga at the end of the day. So I always supported him. And he would be in interviews like, man, this nigga, you know what I'm saying? I used to have problems with this nigga. Always supports me. And I happened to be at the studio one day. He came by the session I was in, and he was like, hey, man, check out my album and shit. You feel me? He like, come check it out. So I ended up going over there and shit, and we just chopping it up about old times, how we was getting into it and shit like that. And then I was in there with him, Sycamore, and who else is there? I forgot. But, my nigga Nano. And they like, they played the beat for me for one of the songs that I'm on his album. They was like, hey, you want to hop on this shit? You want to try it out? I'm like, shit, fuck yeah, I'm about to try this shit.
Really?
Yeah, so I get on that motherfucker, and they like, man, we love it. So I thought it was dope that we had problems back in the day, and he put me on his fucking album.
Were you sweating in the booth like, damn, I got to kill this shit?
Nah. I mean, because I know I can deliver.
Right.
Like, any motherfucker put me on a song, I'm going to destroy that motherfucker. And that's where that battle rap shit come from at the end of the day. Like, bars ain't gonna be the problem.
I always love that dynamic when I see somebody who gets on a song that they maybe didn't know that they were about to be on, and you could tell that there's a big opportunity for them and that they're gonna do the verse even if they don't like the beat or whatever.
Yep.
They're gonna get on that shit even if they have no fucking choice. And it's like, it's always interesting, like, you're sitting there kind of biting your nails just waiting like, oh, man, shit, is he gonna be able to do this?
It was crazy too, and alcohol kind of helped with that too though. Take the edge off of them. But it's crazy too, because that ended up being, I think, the first song on his album, second album. And we shot the video 3-4 times and it never came out.
3 or 4 times?
Yeah, like the first video, he's like, hey, AD, we're going to get you a little 5X fucking black t-shirt. I'm going to get my 3X and we're going to do the fucking video.
Really?
Yeah, like he wanted to do it like how Dog Pound, how they went to New York and they was knocking down the towers and shit like that.
Word.
Yeah, something similar to that, though.
So these were like 3 or 4 attempts of doing the video that were supposed to be like big budget videos. It wasn't just standing on the corner.
They were very big.
Oh, yeah.
Like we did two or three of them.
Was he just so popping at the time that it was all right to just take your sweet ass to just shoot a video 4 times and not put it out? I seen Lil Pump shoot a video and not put it out one time. I thought that was insane.
I see a lot of artists do that though, and really? It don't really be them. It be like the label and the look and the feel of what they coming. Because what we was doing was rowdy. Like we really snuck into LAX. Like Like, you know, like where the grass area is and the sign is, like we jumped on the LAX sign.
Really?
That's pretty tight. Yeah, ain't nobody did that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be careful as hell at LAX. That's just
oh, hell yeah, we was careful. Place. We was sitting there running from police people and all type of shit. That shit was crazy. Slim 400, shout out to Slim 400. He was with us.
He was there?
Hell yeah.
I still can't believe 6ix9ine got beat up at LAX and it was just whatever. Like,
you know what's crazy with the 6ix9ine situation?
I'm surprised you never got in with him.
Nah, you know what's crazy is that the nigga that was red lighting, like green lighting him, mm-hmm. he was with, I was cool with.
Who?
Alshon at
the time. Yeah, Alshon, yeah. Who I met at that video premiere or the video shoot, which also didn't come out.
And me and him had words that day when really? I met you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, like, one of my homeboys, rest in peace, that was his best friend. You feel me? And I met that nigga. I was always cool with him. He'll come to the hood, like always show love to each other and shit like that. And we was always close. And then the 6ix9ine shit happened. I didn't really know who 6ix9ine was. You feel me? I just knew that Slim and YG had a problem with the nigga.
Yeah.
So he hit me up. He like, hey, you know, 6ix9ine want to fuck with some real niggas in LA. I bought your name up and shit like that. And I was like, I ain't trying to get in the middle of the, you know what I'm saying, the Paru shit. They got a problem with the nigga right now. I ain't about to jump in the middle of the shit like them my niggas and shit.
Right.
So I felt like kind of like the nigga kind of was like, I don't know if he was mad at me for the shit, but he was telling people like, man, AD, like he was mad at me.
Yeah.
And the first time I seen him was at the video where I met you at.
How things change so quickly.
It just changed. That's bad.
Now he's kind of got to deal with the fact that he co-signed this rat, and I don't know to what extent people make a big deal out of it. Does that seem like the kind of thing that's like a big deal to you, that like a lot of people are like looking at him like?
But see, no, this is my whole thing. Like, I understand that some people, like, that's their opportunity to get into the game, and yeah. I ain't mad at a nigga that if you like, okay, I'm gonna get around this motherfucker and it's gonna boost me up and get in the game, and you're gonna spin off and do your own shit. Mm. I understand that shit. I just think that he thought more of me like a brotherhood, and I didn't have his back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
When he was dealing with somebody, but I was like, I was never with none of that 6ix9ine shit.
Yeah,
like none. And I have a lot of East Coast homies, so I would call them. They'd be like, nigga, 6ix9ine is tearing the streets off in New York and blah, 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 whatever. Like, mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? You've seen what happens.
Anybody who kept their distance now is looking pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I knew it was eventually that shit was all going to, you know what I'm saying? Either the nigga was going to get smoked or it was going to go down bad like this.
Yeah.
Because it was too much shit happening for him not to be like, you'd be like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah,
how does this nigga keep getting away with this shit?
It was hard to believe it was real when you would, like, I would see pictures of him walking across the street, like, right over here, like a block or two away with a fucking army around him. And I was just like, what is this?
But it was also entertaining as fuck.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Fucking hilarious, though.
Now we got Lil Nas X. It's not the same.
Hey, man, Lil Nas X is dope, man.
No, he's cool.
He's dope, man.
It's just like,
he said, look, you know, how you gonna compare that, man?
I'm just saying, like, this year's viral sensations, you know, you got Blueface fighting with his baby mama, like, oh great. We had 6ix9ine walking Melrose with a fucking army, bro. That was fun.
But you know what's more crazy about the 6ix9ine situation is that grown ass men were trying to find this nigga all around the city. I got so many calls. Niggas would be like, hey, this nigga is at the fucking Lowe's Hotel. Let's go. Everybody, like 300 niggas is going around looking for this one guy, and he's really like playing a rat race with motherfuckers. Like, he'll take a picture of something and then post it, and you're thinking that he's there, and he's already somewhere 4 hours away.
And that was what made it so great, is that he had the security, and he really needed that security, because you really could easily imagine it going down at any given moment. You were kind of looking, even with all that security, you're like, that's not really enough security.
This nigga had grown-ass gangsters, my nigga, looking for him everywhere.
Mm.
Like, people don't understand, like, how bad L.A. wanted 6ix9ine's head on a spike.
Right.
They wanted that shit bad.
Yeah.
And then it's like the younger kids, them motherfuckers were supporting that shit. Like, I seen younger kids getting socked and shit for supporting that shit.
Really?
Yeah. Because it ain't nothing to play with. You know, especially when you come to the culture at the end of the day. Like, but then it made it worse is that you're hanging around people from L.A. too. So it made internal shit happen in L.A. with that as well.
What a fucking wild time that was. Why do we even watch movies when we got shit like that going on?
Well, I would rather watch that than watch a fucking Emoji movie, I'll tell you that. Stupidest fucking movie ever made. Unless you're coming out with a sequel, I want to star in that motherfucker.
Bro, like 10 years from now, they're going to be doing Straight Outta Trey Way. They're going to, like, the fucking Straight Outta Compton. We don't need that. Straight Outta Trey Way, bro.
One thing that I would say is that the 6ix9ine movie would be fucking hilarious, and it would be dope to watch that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like a... Like kind of like how Frank Lucas shit was. You feel me?
They're going to have John Leguizamo play 6ix9ine.
And the only reason I say because I don't know who the fuck John Leguizamo is. Hell no.
If you saw him, you'd think it was maybe kind of funny. Now, we could have, what's his name? George Lopez.
Play 6ix9ine?
The old ass man version.
George Lopez.
I'm just thinking of various like Hispanic people that could maybe play him, bro.
Hey, you know what? I ain't gonna take this with you because you ain't seen Coco yet, man.
No, I gotta get on that
get on that shit.
Wait, so I wanted to ask this. So Slim 400, you know him for a while. How'd you feel when that situation popped up?
Man, I was sad as a motherfucker.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Slim is a real nigga, and he's a real street nigga on top of that. But that's my guy, man. I'm glad that he made it through for real.
Mm. Do you, when you look at you getting out of that environment as quickly as possible, and then you look at something like what happened to Slim, something like what happened to Nipsey, or is this just more and more reminders that...
Yeah.
It's not safe on the places you come from when you make it?
Yeah, and you know, it's just like, you know, the other day, you know, we got hood days and stuff like that. I still go sometimes and, you know what I'm saying, because I would never turn my back on people I came up with at the end of the day. But, you know, it's a blessing, man, to be able to do what you do. And, man, it's sad, man. Every time somebody tries to help their peoples, man, this shit just gets fucked up. Like, the Nip situation is a situation that shouldn't happen. And to me, is the worst shit that ever happened to L.A. for reals.
Mm.
The worst of all time. I don't give a fuck about nothing else. QG. Yeah, man. And Slim, man. Slim is my nigga, man. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy. Like, as you know, as soon as you get a name in this shit, and the reason I say a lot of this shit sometimes now is, like, a lot of these people wanted to be artists. You feel me? There's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of niggas in the hood who never have the tools to make it. And they see a nigga come out of their section. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have problems with niggas in my own section that wanted to rap and shit. And instead of, like, you know, asking me to help them, you know what I'm saying? Them niggas try to, you know what I'm saying, be an enemy to me at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And then you got to handle that whatever way that you can handle that. And that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like a lot of times just people in your city, like, they feel like, I'm a better rapper than you.
Right.
Why is he on? Why is he getting attention? Why do these people fuck me?
You can only help out. Like, even if you...
But that turns to hate.
Right. Like, Nipsey helped a shitload of people, put mad artists on, helped so many people, like, did so much, showed so much love.
Nip did everything by the book.
But still, at the end of the day, it's such a tiny percentage of people that you can really actually help, you know? I'm sure that fool who shot him was probably just some asshole that really, like, wanted something from him, wanted respect, wanted the opportunity that he wasn't able to get.
I don't know the logistics of what happened or why it happened at the end of the day. I just know, like, dealing with my own life and seeing things, like, from perspective with people, like, people really envy you, and they'll really kill you for that.
Yeah.
If they get the opportunity to.
It's easy to forget what it's like to have nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what I'm saying? When I was out here selling dick and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't looking at nobody complaining. I'm like, shit, I got to knock down Precious to give me the fucking dollars. I'm going to do that shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's not even the money now. Before, niggas wanted money, like, social media made it to where motherfuckers really want the love that other people give you at the end of the day.
And they can see it up front.
They hate it.
They can reach out to you and not get a response, you know? Whereas in prior times, they might have wanted to talk to you, but they'll never be able to find you. They'll never be able to get a conversation.
You know how many times that I didn't have altercations with somebody over Instagram?
Yeah.
Some shit that I didn't even see? Nigga like, man, I just feel like you changed up. Like, I got homies in the pen. They call me, and they be like, yeah, man, what's the call said, man? You be ignoring them, and this, like, nigga.
I didn't see that shit. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, nigga, you have my phone number.
Right.
I supposed to look at your DM out of all the fucking DMs, and I'm supposed to respond to it. What did you expect?
Right.
You wouldn't help me when I was like, selling dick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they wasn't helping me. So at the end of the day, like, people got these expectations and shit. And as more they see you grind and see you rise at the end of the day, they want more. They want more. They want more. And it never stops.
Right.
Because I didn't help buy niggas cars. I didn't help niggas do all type of shit.
Uh-huh.
And the minute that you say you can't help them, fuck you.
Yeah.
That nigga changed. Or he is whatever it is. So that's, you just got to live your life the best way, period.
Yeah, definitely. Do you knew Nipsey?
Yeah, that was my nigga.
What was your relationship like? You remember when we met him?
Yeah, I met him at the, well, I met him a couple of times, like in background, but like not no artist to artist at the time. But I remember, I'll never forget, I was at the fucking gym like 6 o'clock in the morning one day. And I know, look at me, I don't be going like that.
6 o'clock you know what in the morning, damn.
Yeah, but
You've been there since 8 p.m.?
Huh?
You've been there since 8 p.m.?
Fuck no.
Well, 10 hour workout.
No, I was probably there 5 minutes. But I went and sat down. And I had my headphones on and shit like that. And I was sitting there. I forgot. Was I doing the road shit? Whatever the fuck is shit up. I don't know. But Nip had came and he walked up to me.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Because after game, it was Nip for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the nigga in L.A. that, you know what I'm saying? We want to structure our shit like that was a hometown hero.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Especially for me. So he came up and he walked up to me. He was just like, hey, man, you know, I fuck with what you doing and shit. He gave me his number. He was like, you know, let me know if you need me on some shit and all that. I was like, shit, like fan moment. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, just doing your thing sometimes, you never know that other people watching you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially that you know, Nipsey, like, as big as he was for L.A.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Damn. Sad.
Sad as fuck.
Do you still see, like, there was that initial, like, peace treaty, but, like, I mean, it was always kind of questionable because the fucking dude got shot at the memorial or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's been a change in the overall attitudes towards people, or is that even possible?
I feel that the people that need to get it.
Mm.
And they're trying to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, people like Big U, Ben, trying to bring people together. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Wacko, shout out to Carver T, shout out to Wack 100. Like, they behind the scenes, they always go to the other side and try to bridge everything together at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Nip situation was a wake-up call for everybody as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Nip did everything by the book and still bad shit that happened to him.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what I mean? You just got to do what you do. But I would never say it would be a peace treaty because there's years and years and years of conflict with gang culture in Los Angeles. It'll never be to where everybody is holding hands around here and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? If you're a general in your section, you have a voice and you can either choose to use that voice for the bad. You can either use it, you know what I'm saying, to help out.
Mm.
I'd rather help out.
Because
I've seen what comes with this shit, and there's nothing but bullshit at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's one thing with social media is that it feels like glorifying negative stuff doesn't really work as smoothly as it used to, because everything is so out there in the open that, you know, it's just very much like if you were putting negative stuff out there on social media, that it's like people are going to take you to task for it.
And
you bring in
the energy to yourself at the end of the day. You basically like just like fuck it. That's what you want, and you know, because it's niggas, especially with the different type of drugs niggas is doing these days. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas ain't just smoking weed, and you know what I mean. Niggas is popping pills. Niggas is going crazy nowadays to where they mental was already fucked up.
It's easy to forget about that when you hear about crazy violence and shit like that. That this motherfucker might be all fucking six perks, not knowing what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, it's just like, you know. The OGs, they used to be off of motherfucking, what's that shit, the PCP and shit. They be like, get that nigga to wet. You know what I'm saying? Let him go shoot some shit up at the end of the day. Like,
right.
So, you know, I got little homies, them niggas be doing bars and all type of shit, getting all type of trouble and shit at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Pop 3-4 bars and shit. Like, it's
go
different.
Go shoot somebody you don't even remember.
It's just different. It's different shit now. And social media, man, like, it just fucked up shit even more. Because it's like, now motherfuckers is broadcasting the shit on Instagram. Everybody snitching on themselves.
Mm. It's crazy. Shit, we're getting close to the hour mark.
For real?
Yeah, man, that was a long
one. God damn.
It was fast. We got to do this again, actually.
Man, anytime, bro.
Easy, yeah. You're a good person to talk to. What, on a more personal level, what music do you want the people to be aware of that you have coming out, or like, what kind of projects you've been working on?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, 2 is out right now, man. It's just dope as fuck. We got a lot of great features on there at the end of the day. It's probably one of the best sounding things coming out of LA in a long time, and I stand by that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I
need to do some shit with no jumper, man.
Let's do it.
I've been asking for a fucking hoodie for a whole year now.
Look. We have hoodies out there. I'm all about that. I just got to make sure that they got it.
Nah, you already know. You my guy, bro.
No. Definitely, yeah. Though. I guess
every time behind the scenes, I'll be like, man, you good, bro? You need me?
Nah, because actually, Slim's dude, Mud, was just hitting me up saying that Slim needs a pack in jail right now.
Hell
or
yeah,
not in jail, but in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I was like, like, fuck, I got to get fucking some more shit because I don't even know if we have shit out right now.
Oh, you know, it's crazy too. My manager, he just told me some shit. He was just like, talk about me and Greedo. You feel me?
Oh, really?
So a lot of people don't know. I got me and Greedo used to be like in a group together.
What was that called? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it was 24 Hour Boys. Shit was dope as fuck.
Wow, really? What year was that?
Yeah. That was like 2014, something like that.
Okay.
13.
Damn.
And that nigga, man, that nigga always been talented. He always is making his own beats and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
We actually have a song. We ain't released it yet, but he says it at the end of the song. He be like, me and AD started out in the same group, but we had to go out and make a name at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah. And
what was that song, the other Greedo song that you're on?
I'm on a Blower.
I love that song.
So we did that shit the same day.
Yeah.
But
oh,
he,
really?
Yeah. He had told me though. Shout out to Kenny Beats. He made that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He told me, he was like, when he was in jail the first time, he was like, man, I was in the pen, nigga, and I seen your shit going up. He's like, I seen your shit going up. You know what I'm saying? He came out and just started tearing shit up in the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Free Greedo, man.
Yeah, Free Greedo. That's my guy right there, man. Day one. Real nigga, too.
Man, they're teasing us, though, because they keep acting like there's a chance that Greedo going to be out within the next year or two.
Hopefully he comes out in the next year or two.
I'm not crossing my fingers, because fucking when somebody gets 20 years, you can't just start telling me they're about to do two. But see, that would be amazing.
It's different depending on what location you're in.
Well, but he got caught up in Texas
with a whole lot of shit. I've heard Texas... You know, they're more lenient on the shit.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, like, I got homies that be doing, like, I think every one day in L.A. be, like, 46 days or 87 days sometimes at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you chop down shit like that with 20 years, it ain't as long as people think.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't got to do 100% of their time anyway. Mm. Nobody does 100% of their time.
Right.
So some people get halftime. Like, my little brother, shout out to 50, he's been in there 6 years, but he got sentenced to 17 years for halftime.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he got action coming home in like 2 years.
Damn, that must feel good.
Yeah. Oh, he's happy to come home.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him. I just talked to him before I came over here and shit, too.
L.A. jail shit is weird. I had a friend who just went in to do fucking 90 days in Long Beach, and he got out the next day.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. You know, 90 days was like
one day. They didn't have room.
It's jails is crowded.
Yeah.
So unless it's something like real violent, like they don't really want to keep you.
Damn.
Yeah, that's good bad. News.
I'm going to keep that in mind.
Hell yeah.
Do all kinds of fucked up shit. Just don't kill anybody along the way.
Man, you're listen. Good. Smartest thing to do, man. Find you a fat bitch, man. You know what I'm saying, man? Be a gigolo, kids. You know what I'm saying? Don't shoot nobody.
That's smart, honestly.
Bro. You giving love, bro. You getting love.
Just
back
overall
at the end of the day.
Business knowledge is like find an underserved market.
But see, I wasn't using the women, though. I liked clients. The women, man. Yeah. I did like them, though. Mm. I grew to have love with them.
Mm.
You feel me? And that was like, that's my dog. And I'm like, you know, the first is coming up. But really around Christmas time, that's when I get into survival mode.
Mm.
Christmas time, I'm like, man, listen, baby, what do you want, baby? Hey, man, listen, go to Toys R Us. Get all the best girl shit that you can find.
When you got to put some presents under the tree. That's when you start popping them Viagras and just driving across town.
I don't know, goddamn.
when you're doing six nuts in a day, you might have to.
But the Blue Rhino, though, 7-Eleven, yeah, that motherfucker go ham.
What the fuck with that?
What? That shit used to go, oh, shit.
Bro.
Still used to this day. To this day.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. The first like gangster ass dude that told me that he takes the dick pills from 7-Eleven, I was like, "That's crazy,
man." You only
you're
do
like
that
the
18 bitches,
fucking
bro.
Dude I heard say.
You
something.
Only do that. You only with a new bitch.
Really?
Like you want to make an impression? You pop that motherfucking pill. You knock them socks off at the end of the day. She gonna go tell all her friends. That's the best piece of meat I'd never had.
See, I am single in. For a minute, but I was listening to Megan Thee Stallion say the other day. She was saying like, oh, sometimes you'll fuck with a dude who got money and he's famous and then he'll fuck you for like 2 minutes and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, oh my God, that could be me.
Let Megan Thee Stallion come around me. I'm popping three blue rhinos for Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
I'm going to rock her fucking world. I'll tell you that.
Not that I would ever be in that position. Shout out to Moneybagg Yo. But if I was in that position, yeah, I don't trust myself to really be in it for the long haul.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I mean, by what you're saying about the fucking taking something, you might have to take something because I might get a little too excited. I'm going
to
be real with
That's what I'm saying. That's why you have to take it. You know what I'm saying? Because you get somebody like Nicki Minaj, you be like, nigga, I'm about to knock down Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, see, that's too
you
much.
You can't. You're going to pop right before you even get in the motherfucking, man.
I'd be nervous to even be around her, bro.
That's
she's,
what I'm
she's
saying.
Tough as hell.
And listen, Nicki Minaj said right now, Adam, I want you to make fucking love to me right now.
I said, this is going to be the best 45 seconds of your life.
Hey, listen.
But round two, though, round two,
hey, listen.
You're going
to
love it.
I'm going to take three blue rhinos, and my shit's going to grow like this, and I'm going to go to fucking work. You hear me?
And the head's going to pop off like that
yeah,
and fly across the room, too.
Look, this
you
is
have to surgically reattach.
This is a representation Yeah. Oh, I missed. Never mind. I missed.
Imagine you finally get to fuck Nicki Minaj and you break your dick.
It's worth it.
You broke it before?
My dick? No.
No, you never did it?
I mean, no.
I heard a lot about it.
Maybe the bigger ones might break your dick.
Bro. I'm not going to lie to you. We were fucking with Riley Reed. She's like 90 pounds. She's smashing up and down on. I thought she was about to crack my shit in half.
I probably had to slap her in the back of the head.
I thought about it.
Yeah. Somebody doing all that shit. Like, you purposely trying to break a nigga meat?
That's trying to different. Kill me? What the hell's wrong with you?
So maybe, you know, I just take it back. Maybe, no, bigger women got so much more extra layers and shit. Maybe they can't break it.
But a 400-pound woman is not going to be just fucking bow, jumping all over you.
But
is
her pussy going to do that?
Her pussy, yeah, but that's the problem, is there's just such a wall. There's so much weight coming down.
Let me tell you something. I want a rich bitch as big as Jabba the Hutt, and I'll be happy. I'll be content. That's it.
All right. That might be a good thing to end it with. No, I'm starting to think about how.
Jabba the Hutt with a wig, $3 million, sign AD up right now.
Well, I know myself.
I will
and
feed
I,
her.
I'm just such a irritable person. It's like, if I was given, like, when you're talking about like fucking a girl for money and shit, I'm just picturing myself having to be nice to her after. Like, I can't. No.
You're nice when you need it. It's different.
Yeah, if I needed it, sure.
I'm like, you gonna give me $300 to come spend 2 days with you in the middle of nowhere?
$300 for 2 days?
I mean, look, you got to think about it. You ain't got no bills, right? Mm. Your grandma, my grandma, my mom, everybody, they paying the bills and shit. I ain't paying for nothing at the time. You know what I'm saying? Everything is profit.
Yeah.
Everything is fucking profit.
Kids, I hope that a lot of people are watching this and they're real motivated to go do something with their
lives. That's what I'm saying. Put the gun down, pick up your dick.
Facts, man. Hey, yeah. Put the crack down, shit. Too.
Put the what?
Put the crack down. You don't need to sell drugs.
Nobody smoke crack no more, man. No. When the last time you seen crack, Adam?
Fentanyl? I don't know.
Fentanyl, look, hey, it's crazy. Popping. It's crazy too, because I was watching Euphoria, bro. That show's fucking crazy, bro.
Everybody talking about this shit.
That shit's crazy.
My girl's been watching it and shit. I thought I could get away with not watching it because it's like a girl show
whatever. No, it's like the most wild shit I've ever seen on a TV show.
Get on it. God damn it. You know, I've
been, you're going to like this shit.
I've been watching The Wire. I'm stuck in this fucking 90s, bro.
Classic, bro.
Yeah, I love it.
The Wire, Breaking Brad, Sopranos.
Breaking Brad. That's my homie.
Breaking Brad.
He's going through
later.
Breaking Bad was one of my best TV experiences of my life.
It has the best ending of all time.
Yeah, and you know, in New Hampshire.
What do you mean?
That's where I'm from, New Hampshire, and that's what he does, is he goes off and hides away in a cabin in New Hampshire in the snow.
I don't care about that part. That nigga came and smoked him, man.
Yeah, that's true, too, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is in New Hampshire? You almost ruined it for me. But you know they got the movie coming out, though.
You got a movie?
No, they got the movie. You seen the Breaking Bad movie coming out?
I didn't know that.
How you didn't know that?
Nah, that's crazy. But yo, did you watch Better Call Saul?
I'm on like the third season of
that. I watched like 2 episodes. I don't know how I didn't really get into that.
You know what I was really into?
What?
Fucking Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And it let me down.
Yeah.
Let me fucking down. Man, I was pissed off.
At first, it didn't let me down, but then my girl was like listening to these podcasts around me about Game of Thrones because she's like
podcast.
A mega nerd. And then I started to really realize how bad they fucked up because they're talking about like just how none of this shit makes any fucking sense. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, I wasn't thinking about all this shit when I first saw it. I was cool with it.
I was going to buy that little 8 Blu-ray collection. I would break the shit out of that shit right now if I would have bought that. That shit let me down, man.
Yeah. Well, they got the prequel series coming now. A little different shit. I don't know if I'll be on board.
Man, watch that Euphoria shit, though.
Okay.
Zendaya said it on the show. She said fentanyl is the best drug of all time.
That's what she says on the show?
She said there ain't no drug better than that. Oh, it made me want to pop some fentanyl.
Kids, stay off the fent.
Yeah. Drop the fentanyl, pick your dick up. You know what I'm saying?
That fentanyl ain't going to help your dick game at all.
It ain't?
I don't know, but I assume no.
I don't know, man. The Mollies used to have me on one.
That's different. I don't think fentanyl and Molly.
They done had a Blue Rhinos, nigga. Hey, put that Molly in the orange juice, man. We'll rock your world, baby.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah. AD, y'all. I appreciate you coming through, bro, for real, man. My dude. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. We will be back real, real soon. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.